Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Joe Sullivan. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Cynthia.
Hi, I was having technical problems.
I know, no problem.
My guest today is Joe Sullivan, and Joe is running for the Assembly in the 109th District. So, Joe, how has the campaign been going so far?
It's going quietly. So your listeners know what the 109th Assembly District is, it includes Uptown Albany and the towns of Bethlehem, Gilderland, and New Scotland. Now, as far as the campaign going, there's very little media coverage. The Altamont Enterprise did do a very good story, which I appreciate. Unfortunately, the Times Union was a very superficial, uninformative article, because the Times Union is essentially in the tank for the Democrats, so you can't expect that they're going to educate the voters at all. And as far as the rest of the media, nothing, you know, and that's par for the course. So people have to make a little extra effort if they want to cast informed votes. And I do have a very informative website. It's very complete, very explicit. If I might just start off with that, I'll repeat the URL very slowly so people can go to it. And maybe you might post it on your Facebook as well. https://bpcnanews18.blogspot.com.
Great. So you've been blogging about a number of issues.
Yes.
And when I called to set up this interview, the first issue that we talked about was the school vote.
Right.
Can you share your thoughts on what had transpired?
Right. We're talking specifically about the Gilliland school budget vote, which was held on the 16th,
right,
just recently. And a $43 million expenditure. And Mike Connor has actually called attention to it a little while ago, and he was on Paul Vandenberg, who gave it some coverage as well. And what Mike suggested was that the school budget votes should be held at general election time. And that's a very good idea. I support that. But I went further than Michael did. I urged voters in Gilliland to defeat that budget and force the school budget to come back on the November 6th ballot when there'd be a larger turnout. Now, fortunately, what happened was I knew there was going to be a low turnout, so I have several posts on my website that people can read, and essentially I urge them to defeat the budget because these budgets are a scam. School districts do it all over the state. They hold budget votes on obscure times when they know the low turnout is going to occur, and they know who their voters are, and they manage to get them to the polls. Well, what happened this time was it was such a low turnout, and the budget was defeated just by a handful of votes. And I think that it was a combination of factors. I think that Mike Connors called attention to it. I called attention to it. I made some phone calls selectively in Gilliland, and I think some of the voters, of course, on their own had the good intelligence to vote no on the budget. So I'm delighted it was defeated, and I would wish that this would be an example in other communities, like especially Albany, where people just simply routinely come out in small numbers and pass these budgets because they have a little bit larger base of people dedicated to the school agenda. But that's a very optimistic sign. If I'm elected, I will sponsor and promote the legislation that will change the date for school budgets to the November general elections, and that would mean there would only be one vote. In other words, it would be an up or down, and none of this nonsense of coming back one and two and three and four times until they browbeat the voters into passing the budget.
Now, this has been going on for quite a while in Albany, and
yes.
You and I have done previous shows about the fact that it's held on inconvenient times, and I remember the vote for the, I believe it was the Bond Act to rebuild the Albany or refurbish the Albany High School.
Right.
And it was done in the middle of winter.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I remember not having that much snow that winter, but the
right.
day of the vote, it snowed.
Yes.
So, you know, I think they pull out the farmers over that too.
Right. And you know something on that too, Cynthia, that particular case was poorly handled because the opponents made the mistake of going to the federal court. They should have immediately gotten an order to show cause and impounded the ballots with all the crookedness that went on with the voting machines and the ballots and so forth. But that's water over the dam now, and Albany taxpayers are stuck with that. But we want to end that in the future because it's never ending. They keep coming back year after year, and there are only so many taxpayers, and particularly in the city of Albany, where about only one-third of the homes are owner-occupied. And the people that pay the lion's share of the property taxes live in the uptown corner, the western edge of the city. They have the most expensive homes. They're taxed the highest. And the people that have the children going to the schools live in the midtown to downtown, and their properties are worth very little in comparison to uptown. So their tax rates are also very low. Their tax bills are very low. So they've got to start paying their fair share down there, start improving their neighborhoods and improving their homes.
Now, this might not be related to your campaign, but I was looking at a copy of the Business Review last night.
Yes.
And they had a page on the highest paid superintendents in the area.
Right.
Now, the superintendents of in schools, they make over $100,000. Some superintendents make over $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they paid so well where college professors, the trend is towards adjunct, they're not tenured, they're poorly paid? So why are the superintendents paid so much when college professors are at the poverty level?
Well, this is a reflection of the power and strength of the teachers' unions in New York State. They're much more powerful, so they get these higher salaries and benefits and packages for their members, and they lobby the legislature. They actually by the legislature. You can see that the state Senate right now is struggling to survive, and they're
right.
actually fighting with one another, but where they were allies, because the legislators depended upon that income coming in as far as campaign contributions for their campaigns. So I think that explains that. And I have a plan for Albany. In Albany, we should consolidate the city schools. They're called city schools. Well, they are city schools. Consolidate the city schools with the city government, abolish the school board, make the mayor and the common council members responsible and accountable for the conduct and the performance of the schools. Your mayor could just simply serve two functions as a superintendent of schools as well, and that's not an unnecessary burden. There should be one property tax roll to fund both the city government and the schools. And I would go as far as to index school property taxes to the graduation or performance rates. For example, if there's a 50% dropout rate, you're going to get 50% less money. I think Albany should return to K-8 neighborhood schools, which are best for the students, they're best for the parents and teachers, and also for the city property taxpayers who are not getting their money's worth for the high taxes that they're paying to support the schools. Now, that would require legislation, would require a home rule message. I would force it. I would put in the legislation, and I would get after the mayor and the common council, especially the common council would have to present a home rule message. Now, ideally, if the people who are resident in the city of Albany would like my idea, they would get after the common council members that allegedly represent them, which is not the case now.
Now, just a few minutes ago, you talked about the media and
right.
the lack of coverage that you're getting. I've gone to a dinner last night where Mark Dunley spoke, and Mark Dunley is running as a Green candidate for controller against Tom Napoli.
Right.
And he was talking about the lack of substantive media coverage that he's getting. So whether you talk about the right, the middle, the left, if the media does not think you're viable or doesn't want to cover you, they don't do it. And the average
it's a mutual admiration society. The media is in cahoots with the people that they perceive to be in power. For example, Times Union Rex Smith is in with Kathy Sheehan. They're very tight. So they just simply ignore any other opposition at all. Rex is on the Palace board. So they're very chummy with one another, and that's what you have. And this is a trend all over the country, is the media is largely a spokesperson or a mouthpiece for the people that control the Democratic Party, wherever it is that you are in the United States.
That's such a disservice to the public.
Oh, yes.
Unbiased opinion of what's going on so that they could make up their own minds.
This is why the voters are being brainwashed. Essentially, when they glue themselves to CNN and they go to the various newspapers like the Times Union and so forth, they're only getting the party propaganda. So they're not really informed. They're being brainwashed. And then on top of that, you have a situation. That's why the schools are so important, because what the Democrats have done in the last, since the beginning of the Great Society around that particular time, they've followed a number of steps aimed at them establishing one-party control of the United States government and all local governments underneath, state and local governments. And you can see here in New York where we're on the verge of that again now. And so eventually what you're going to wind up with is monolithic dictatorships. You can see how Governor Cuomo, and he screams and he shouts and he says people that are conservative don't belong in New York, and they take such outrageous stands. They're disarming the public. They're trashing the Constitution. They've taken over the schools. They're brainwashing the little snowflakes who come out and who are blossoming into Antifa and Black Lives Matters and all these rabble groups now that are really causing chaos in the streets. So, and the Democrats have also, this is why the fight over the Supreme Court is so important, because their plan, the Democrats, socialists, is to have a court that will simply bypass the legislature and do the rulings, which is the case. We've had a number of cases recently in recent decades of the Supreme Court making national law, and there's no basis for the laws that they have actually made. First of all, the court is not supposed to make law. The Supreme Court is supposed to interpret the laws as far as are they constitutional. So a lot of these measures are just simply lawmaking by the Supreme Court, which is not the way the founders set up our country. But, of course, the Democrats want to control everything, and it's every aspect of our lives. So this is a very important election. This is America's at a crossroads. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to remain a constitutional republic, or are we going to become a one-party dictatorship?
So you have more than one opponent. You're on the conservative line.
Right.
You have a Republican. You have a Republican opponent, and you have Pat Baker, who's the incumbent.
Right. She's one of the what I call the Blues Sisters from Chicago. Okay. The other Blues Sister being Mayor Sheehan. And look at the wreck that Chicago is. They're in the process of making Albany the same kind of. Albany is really becoming Detroit on the Hudson, because of poor fiscal policies, because of social engineering of uptown neighborhoods. Kathy Sheehan is a dedicated so-called progressive who wants to. She's carrying on the Obama agenda, fundamentally transforming America. And it's in a direction that we don't want to go. Her rezone Albany is an example of that, and her fiscal mismanagement of the city, frankly.
So what should people do to inform themselves in your district, the 109th?
Mm-hmm.
What should they do to inform themselves, so that they go to the polls, make a better choice,
mm-hmm.
or a different choice? And what differs you from your two other opponents?
Okay. Well, first of all, it's a little more harder work for the voters. And I find that where I get most of my news from, I don't watch the television. I find radio to be the most informative, and particularly a lot of the talk shows, because you hear ordinary voters. Like this morning, I enjoy getting up in the morning around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and I listen to Red Eye Radio. And you hear the truckers calling in. You hear people from the heartland of America. And very good discussions and comments. And then you have a number of Talk 1300 has a number of good talk shows locally. People can go to WGY. There are very good talk shows. And you'll get more broad opinions. And, of course, they tend to be conservative, but that's good. That's what people need. So I find radio to be the most educational, and that's what I depend on a lot. I also read. There are other good news outlets, too, but you have to search for them. There are people like Andrew McCarthy writing about the Mueller investigation, which has seemed to have fallen off the radar now, hasn't it? Because it wasn't going anywhere anyway. It was a whole phony deal from the beginning. So there are lots of sources. Now, as far as what differentiates me from Kathy Fahey from Pat Fahey and also from Kathy Sheehan, they are dedicated socialists. No doubt about it. I'm a constitutionalist. I support the Constitution. They do not honor their oath of office. They undercut the Constitution. An example of Kathy Sheehan is with her sanctuary cities. That's a violation of U.S. immigration law, and I wish the president would really get after these people in the Department of Justice because they're flaunting the law, and they're setting a poor example for people, because if the office holders can break the law, why can't anybody else? That's the rationale that it follows. Now, Pat Fahey, the assemblywoman, is a co-sponsor of legislation that would make the election of the presidential candidates by popular vote. Now, that's not so. Essentially, she would do away with the Electoral College. And the Electoral College is a protection from mob rule. The founders were very suspicious of uninformed voters. They had, believe it or not, uninformed radical voters way back then. And the founders said that we've got to put some protection in there, especially for the other states and colonies at the time. So if you do away with the Electoral College, that will allow New York and California, Illinois, a few of the real large Democratic enrollment states to determine the outcomes of elections. And that's part of the plan of the Socialist Democrats with, you know, taking over the government, the courts, and gun control, et cetera, is to simply control every aspect of the process. And the election of the president is the most vital because that's the leader of our country. And if you have a single president, like let's suppose Andrew Cuomo became the president, he's a dictator. Look at New York, how he behaves. So that's a real serious situation for the future of our country.
How do you differ from Porter?
Well, Porter, he's a Marine, and I was a Sea Dog in the Navy, and some people say, and it's true, that the Marine Corps is part of the Navy, which it is. I don't see much on Rob's his comments on his interview in the Times Union. He's a Marine. He follows orders. Well, I think a person that's an assemblyman or a representative has to also be a leader. You just don't follow orders from people and jump out a window and that type of thing, you know. So I think it's good that he's on the ballot and he gives people a choice. But I don't see much there in terms of hard issues. So that's a very big difference between us.
Right. So what do you think, what else would you like to talk about as far as the issues that people should know and should take into consideration when they go vote on November 6th?
Well, just briefly to touch on a few things, I oppose the extension of the Sheehan trash tax to the single-family homes. They put it first on the apartments, but take a look at the volumes of trash that it generated. In the area where I live, which is uptown, largely there's maybe a single person, maybe a widow or a widower living in a home, and you don't see big piles of trash out on the street. You go to Midtown or downtown, wherever there are big concentrations of multifamily housing, all kinds of trash, especially in the college neighborhoods, too, and when the semester's let out. So I think that's unfair. People uptown already pay high property taxes. We pay for our trash pickup. So I think that should be voted down. And I favor a moratorium on the lavish tax breaks that the mayor is granting for so-called luxury housing and mixed-use development until the city sewer system is fixed and the Sheehan Rezone Albany Code is amended or repealed in the single-family residential zoning districts, which pay the lion's share of the property taxes that support the city schools and city government. Because what that mayor is doing, and the Common Council is going right along with her as a rubber stamp. Nobody's speaking up. They don't analyze anything. You destroy the uptown tax base, you destroy the city schools, support for the city schools and city government. You've got a real fiscal crisis on your hands. So Albany is heading down that road. It's the wrong road. Now, she's doing that partly because she believes in the Obama plan to social engineer nice lily white uptown neighborhoods in cities and communities. And that's part of their plan. But it's foolhardy because you're destroying the tax base. And it's going to hurt every resident of the city of Albany, particularly the poor people that live midtown, downtown, who don't have the income to pay the taxes to support the schools that they require for their children.
What I found very interesting is a couple of weeks ago, I had gone down to Hackett, and Kathy Sheehan was there and spoke, and they want to revitalize Lincoln Park.
Right.
And they were asking for community input on it, and I thought, gee, this is really cute. You know, they want to build a sewage treatment plant there. And they're talking about revitalizing the park. And you had mentioned something very interesting the other day when I told you about the Aurora Games that will be at the Tiberian Center.
Right.
And you said that's all well and good, but it's going to create more of a burden on the sewage system. So, you know, that led me to believe that all of this, you know, development and, you know, people coming into events, and if it puts a strain on the infrastructure, who cares? So if that's the case, what should be a priority for the city of Albany as far as infrastructure goes?
Well, again, fix the sewer system. And what has to happen, it's ridiculous to put a treatment plant next to the O'Brien School in Lincoln Park. That's a valuable piece of real estate, and it's not healthy to have that where you have multifamily apartment houses and stuff right real nearby. And what needs to be done there, the confluence of the Albany storm sewers and the sewage sewers are one. So, and they come to a confluence right where the O'Brien School is at Delaware Avenue. The simplest thing to do there, rather than spending, and incidentally, that's going to be $40, $50 million of a grant, which is going to have to be paid back to the state. And so talk about saddling the taxpayers. Who's going to pay for that? So it's a poor design. What has to happen is they have to separate the storm sewers from the sewage sewers around that juncture at the O'Brien School, and run a new line to the county treatment plant Menands for treating some of the water, and that's going to go a long way toward solving the problem, and it would be a wiser use of the money. I would like to see an estimate of what it would cost to do that separation and just to run those lines like that, because why destroy that park? That's a jewel, really. So I'm opposed to that whole plan that she has for that. And, of course, what you mentioned about you went to a meeting when you were talking with me where they want to bring tourism. What are they going to call it? Poop in the park tour? You know, it's ridiculous. And so the mismanagement of this mayor is incredible. And I'm happy and delighted to be running against her blue sister, because Pat Fahey supports everything that the mayor does. So you got to begin to break up this terrible duo here. And this is what the voters have to begin to do. You have to start weeding out these candidates that just simply go along and get along and promote the agenda.
So, Joe, in the closing moments of this interview, what would you like to say to the voters in 109?
Well, I would say, and I know the a strong democratic tradition of Albany, and traditions linger on for many generations. People have loyalties. They remember the Democratic Party of Dan O'Connell and Erastus Corning. Those days are over. Take a good, hard look at the people that are in power now and where they're taking you. And they're taking you down the wrong road. The agenda of Sheehan and Fahey is part and parcel of the socialist democratic agenda nationwide. And it's about one-party rule. It's about controlling every aspect of your lives. And people will rue the day. I can't see with the behavior. Anyone who is really paying attention to how the Democrats are behaving, and this isn't the rank-and-file Democrats. This is the people that are purporting to be the leaders who are being left to lead. They're making absolute fools of themselves, and they're in the process of destroying America. And when America is destroyed, they're going to go down with it. So I think this is a very crucial election, because what happens here If the Democrats prevail and they take the House, they've got the financial purse strings. If you're tired of all of the shenanigans that you've seen with the Kavanaugh hearings and so forth, that's what we'll have, is two more years of that. And the country is not going to be able to take it. The violence is increasing. People are very tight and tense. And the Democrats have divided us. And this is a serious situation. So it's up to the voters to set America back on the course that it was intended to be by the founders, a constitutional republic, law and order, and also prosperity for people and liberty for people, less big government. So that's what's at stake on November 6th.
So if somebody wants to know more about your campaign, volunteer for your campaign, or, be a part of it until November 6th, how can they do so?
Well, just go to the website, and maybe you can somehow post that when you put the interview online, and they can call me. My phone number is there, and I don't expect people to get involved. But the main thing is just get informed and go to the polls, and that's all there is to it. We don't have to have I'm not spending any money. I'm not asking anyone for any money. And of course, this is why the media doesn't pay attention to you too. I just refuse to play that game. I think it's repugnant. I'm actually living campaign reform. I have very good stands on issues, and by the fact that you don't raise money and barrage people and scratch at their doors, and I do some door to door a little bit, but people don't even like politicians coming around to their doors. They're fed up with politics, and I can't blame them. So I think campaigns, I'm delighted with this campaign. It's short. That's the way campaigns should be. The money should be out of it, and people should use their minds more, and they've got to just work a little bit harder to find out what's happening and make rational, wise choices in the people they elect for office. So that's the way I'm proceeding.
Okay, and you want to give your website with your blog post one more time?
Okay, it's a little cumbersome, but I'll go slowly. https://bpcnanews18.blogspot.com. That's actually my neighborhood site, because people are wondering what that is. I used to have a couple of different blogs, but I just combined it in one. Because it's all the same. And in fact, one of the big issues that I'm standing for here in Uptown Albany is I'm against the sale or privatization of the Albany Municipal Golf Course, which the mayor is anxious to do because she's hungry for money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do believe that the state should be giving in lieu of tax payment every year, just like they do for the Empire State Plaza. They should be doing that for the state office campus, because that's valuable real estate belonging to the city of Albany. The state is using and not giving the taxpayers of this city a break. So I think it's only proper, whether it be Governor Cuomo or any other governor, that should be a priority for the next governor, whoever gets elected this time around, and the legislature, to be fair with Albany. Now, that money should not be used for frivolous things. The trouble is with Kathy Sheehan, she wants to spend that money on other things, her agenda. Well, let's dedicate things to the sewer system, for example. Let's fix that sewer system, because when that is not fixed, all of us suffer. You can see people that even live in the expensive homes along South Manning Boulevard that particular corner of our neighborhood, they're subject to flooding. They have 4 feet of water in their cellars and so forth because of the combined sewers, and that's unacceptable. Those people pay $15,000, $17,000 in taxes a year for their homes. So there has to be a pilot program for the state office campus, the Harriman campus, And we have to really take a look at what's going on here with all of this mixed-use development, because it's congesting the city. We've talked about it many times, New Scotland Avenue, getting worse and worse with the traffic, and putting all of these so-called mixed-use developments, luxury housing, isn't going to work because the people don't have the luxury incomes in this city. And what's going to happen with a lot of these projects, they're going to revert to Section 8 housing. And you can see this all over the city, Central Mall towers and all, you know, over on Central Avenue and so on. These units become Section 8 housing paid for by the public taxpayers, and the neighborhoods go to hell. So there's very poor planning and fiscal mismanagement, and it's got to end.
Okay, so, you know, good luck on November 6th, and maybe we'll even talk before then.
We might.
So,
I'm sure some other things will come up, and thank you very much for what you do, Cynthia, because... please make sure you get this out on Facebook. You can have a lot of magic, Twitter, and all. I don't bother much with that stuff. And people who read it should just pass it along. If they pass the word, I think there's going to be very low turnout again. You know, I'll be surprised. You look at the recent primary. Voters are so disgusted, and rightly so. But I hope that they will really rethink it and realize the crucial significance of what this election is for all of us and for the future of our country and the future of our families. So I urge people to get informed and to make proper choices. Even in New York State now, don't let New York State become a one-party dictatorship. As bad as the Republican Senate has been, there are some very good candidates that are endorsed by the Conservative Party on the Senate. And it's very important to have an opposition party, because if you have no opposition, you're finished, and you have no you have no recourse to have a better life or anything else, because you're just simply under the thumb of one party. And America was not intended to be a dictatorship.
Okay, so we'll talk again either before or after the election. So
thank you very much, Cynthia.
You've been listening to Joe Sullivan, who's the candidate for the assembly in the 109th district. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. Thanks, Joe, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.